You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. It's good to be back again this week, ladies and gentlemen. I suppose you've noticed that it's a different time slot than I've always had. This is going to be the new time slot for Saxon's Creed. Pastor Dan has decided to leave Eurofolk Radio, and we wish him the best. I love Pastor Dan. We all do. And that's all I really want to say about that. I will say one thing that I've been saying on my show for a long time. We cannot let little disagreements split us apart any longer. We cannot allow the enemy to divide us so easily over such foolish things. Now, if you're a one-seed liner and I'm a two-seed liner, at least we both know who our father is and we know who our enemy is. Now, I may not agree with everything the one-seed liner says. They don't believe in that Eve had sex with the angel. However, regardless, they're still my brothers and sisters. I would split over something like if they believed we should be homosexuals or something like that. But otherwise, there's no reason for us to split any longer. As a matter of fact, when the tribes of Israel split and they became two sticks, what happened after that is we became splinters. And I told you on a previous show that we need to take those splinters and reformate a big bat to bash the enemy over the head with. And that is exactly what we need to do. These silly disagreements, these silly separations that the enemy is so overjoyed with because all they have to do is put a little idea in your head and pretty soon, oh, we must start a new church. We don't agree with you totally. We agree with 99.5% of everything you say, but this little thing just divides us completely, so we must leave you and rebuke you and start another division. Yeah, that nonsense, the days of that is over, ladies and gentlemen. Yahweh wants to gather the tribes. I told you that's my purpose, one of my main purposes. And it is the purpose of everyone here at Eurofolk Radio. We've got to get over the silly differences. I told you that Eli believes in the Trinity. I told you that I believe that Yahweh and that Yeshua and that the Holy Spirit are all the same person. Does it really matter? No. I still love Eli. He's my brother, and he still loves me, and I'm his brother. And yes, I can look at the scriptures, and I can find evidence for both of those positions. However, it's not something to split over. And so we move forward, bringing the splinters back to formate the bat or the club to club the enemy's head in with. You understand? United we stand, divided we fall. I know that's something you've heard before. How can I say it any better than that in reality? The reason why America is in the position it's in is because it has allowed the Jews to put in the vilest form of government, which is known. I've said this so many times, but you people, I still hear people across the world saying affectionate things about democracy. It's the vilest form of government. If this is called the United States, why do we have two parties vehemently fighting one another in the Hegelian dialectic? This is not the United States. We are not united. The devil and his literal offspring wanted to get rid of the monarchies, which were a protection to us, even though, you know, I had told you before that we offended Yahweh and said, we don't want you as king. We want a king like the other families of the world. So we offended him. So if you had a bad king, it turned out a bad thing. But if you had a good king, it was wonderful. And there was a protection there. And the Jews would not be able to get their way the way they can with a vile form of government called democracy. This is exactly why. So the king was a form of protection. And that's why they wanted to get rid of the monarchies. Because they knew that they could own both sides of the party using the Hegelian dialectic, and that in the process of these two parties fighting one another, there would be a synthesis of the two. Which means there's not any difference between Republican or Democratic parties. Because you have homosexual Jews in the Republican Party right now. There is no such thing as a conservative Jew. Yet they're all over the Republican Party right now. So there isn't a difference between the two parties because of the synthesis that takes place in the Hegelian dialectic. And this just slips us right down to tyranny. Now, if you've heard my 10-minute broadcast on the quotes of James Madison, or you have the time to spend a little time and read his quotes, you'll find out that no country that's at perpetual war will be able to maintain its freedom. That's one of his quotes. I'm, of course, not saying it exactly. I'm paraphrasing, but that's exactly what he says. No country that is at perpetual war will be able to maintain its freedom. This is one of the reasons we are at perpetual war. I've gone into this before, so I'm going to go into my message because it's more important than me repeating everything. However, I'm going to repeat two things to you that are very important for you to hear again. The title of this message is called The Children of the Flame. Now, I was laying in bed, and I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I began to get this message. And I have to tell you that Yahweh blew me away. Now, I've talked about the children of the flame and the children of the water before. However, I just kept getting more and more thoughts on the matter, and my goodness, I got up and wrote them down so I wouldn't forget them. Now, we are going to hear two quotes from the Children of the Flame so that you will understand that we are where they wanted us to be at this point in the time of Jacob's trouble. The first one is one you've heard before, but I want you to listen. And I want you to listen very close and tell me this is not exactly what's happening in America. Now, it's the quote from Israel Cohen. They try to claim that this is a hoax, and yet it's in the Congressional Record, volume 103, page 8559, June 7th, 1957. And it's from a pamphlet put out by Israel Cohen, a racial program for the 20th century, from 1912. Listen closely. We must realize that our parties, our parties, as I've said to you before, That's not our, you and I, the Americans' party. We're talking about the Jews. We must realize that our party's most powerful weapon is racial tensions. By propounding into the consciousness of the dark races that for centuries they have been oppressed by whites, we can mold them to the program of the Communist Party. Now, dear listener, you do realize the blacks are communist, do you not? You do realize that they have been pounding this into the... As a matter of fact, there was a play that this guy wrote, Israel Cohen. And it was something like The Melting Pot or something. And it was a play about how whites mistreated minorities. This is back then, 1912-ish, you know, 1920-ish, around those areas. Okay, let me go on, okay? We must realize that our party's most powerful weapon is racial tensions. By propounding into the consciousness of the dark races that for centuries they have been oppressed by whites, we can mold them to the program. We can mold them. We can mold them to the program of the Communist Party. In America, we will aim for subtle victory while inflaming the Negro minority against the whites. We will endeavor to install, I want you to pay attention, white people. We will endeavor to install in the whites a guilt complex for their exploitation of the Negroes. You know what's funny is we didn't exploit the Negroes. It's the Jews who exploited the Negroes. And it's the Jews who pretended they were white until this present day. Now they're teaching that they're no longer white because they've turned all the dark races against us, correct? Now all of a sudden they are back to being a minority, and they never were whites in the first place. But while they were whites, they were exploiting the Negroes. And remember when the Negroes say, the man? Well, the man is not a white man. The man is the Jew. Now it goes on. We will aid the Negroes to rise in prominence in every walk of life, in the professions, and in the world of sports and entertainment. Hello? With this prestige, the Negro will be able to intermarry with the whites and begin a process which will deliver America to our cause. Now, I don't know if you just heard what I just read to you, but if you didn't, go back and listen to the beginning of the show again. Who can deny that that is not what is taking place? It's already been taking place. And right now we are in the midst of racial tensions that are unprecedented, correct? Now let's go to another children of the flame, a child of the flame. Now, this is from Albert Pike, and this letter was written to Mazzini. I had heard Andrew mention it again, and I have mentioned it before, but I want to read it to you because one of my purposes is to be a clarifier. I clear things up for you. I clear the music up for you. I clear the old recordings up for you. I clear the picture for you. I simplify it, not because you're simple in mind, but just so it becomes very clear what is being said. My purpose is to clarify as well. So this is also said to be a hoax, yet they had this in the museum in England, and now it has disappeared. Now, I could see where maybe they might say it was a hoax for a couple of things that are said here. However, it is what happened, and this was put out a long time before the time we are in right now. So, let's get to the First World War. See, this Mazzini means Mason, in case you don't know that in Italian. And he was the head over there of the P2 Lodge, I guess it was. And, of course, you know who Albert Pike was. Okay? So when they use the term Illuminati, it's the same old stuff. It's the Jews. They infiltrated the lodges, and they became a secret society within a secret society. So let's listen to the First World War. The First World War must be brought about in order to permit the Illuminati, or the Jews, to overthrow the power of the Tsars in Russia, and of making that country a fortress of atheistic communism. Hello? Number one, the Tsar had torpedoed the League of Nations, his forefather, he had torpedoed the League of Nations, which is the UN, the first attempt at it. And the Tsar saw right through that. He said, no way. No way, Mr. Jew. So the Rothschilds swore that they would get the Tsar and his family. And they don't care how long it takes, but they got the Tsar and his family. Number two, they waited until they knew that also that the Tsar was the richest man in the world. And he had his money in their banks around the world. They stole his money, and that's why I tell Mr. Putin that it's time to put a lawsuit out and a tribunal with nobody that's connected to the Jews, and he should get that money back. That's Russia's money. Anyway, the First World War must be brought about in order to permit the Jews, I'll say, forget the Illuminati, to overthrow the power of the Tsars in Russia and of making that country a fortress of atheistic communism. That the divergences caused by the agents of the Illuminati, which are the Jews, between the British and Germanic empires will be used to foment this war. And it was. At the end of the war, communism will be built and used in order to destroy the other governments and in order to weaken the religions. Hello, hello. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're not falling asleep, right? You did just hear what I just read to you, right? I hope so. If not, you shall return to the beginning and listen once again. Now to the Second World War. The Second World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences between the fascists and the political Zionists. This war must be brought about so that Nazism is destroyed. Nazism, I don't know how they say that, is destroyed, and that the political Zionism must be strong enough to institute a sovereign state of Israel and Palestine. Hello. During the Second World War, international, who did I tell you are the internationalists? The Jews. Because they've never had a country of their own, because they were cursed by Yahweh to be vagabonds and wanderers. International communism must become strong enough in order to balance Christendom, which of course it did, because you know that the Council of Churches is a communist organization, right? You know that the Catholic Church is a communist organization. It's also a Babylonian institute. Correct? So you know that all the 501(c)s doesn't matter. There are no more churches that are called Protestants. They've all ascribed to Catholicism again and to the Pope. There are no more Protestants. Those divisions have now come back together and joined communism, international communism. They don't even know they've joined, most of them. But they're in the Jewish version of Christianity anyway, with the Jewish version of Jesus. Ooh, I use that word. That could mean I'm a false prophet. Yeah. If you're that bothered by the word Jesus, maybe you ought to see if you have some spirits living in you. So international communism must become strong enough in order to balance Christendom, which would be then restrained, which it has, and held in check, 501c3 or 3c, whatever it is, until the time when we would need it for the final social cataclysm. See, they're going to use Christianity in the Third World War. Now, let's see if that's what's taking place today. Now, remember that this has been out for a long time. If you wanted to say this was a hoax, well, you might say the first two could be written after the world wars. But I don't think so. But the third one's been out there for a long time. And let's listen to what it says. The Third World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agentur of the Illuminati. Those are the Shabbos Goy or the Jews. Usually the Shabbos Goy come out and do the dirty deeds, and the Jews sit invisible in the background, like I wrote about my article, Pigs. You have pigs, which are the ones that come out and take the heat for everything they do, and then you have the invisible pigs in the background. This is the same thing. The invisible secret society, which is called the Illuminati, inside the secret society known as the Lodge. So the agentur of the Illuminati, or of the Jews, the agents of the Jews, between the political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world. Hello, hello. Let's listen now. So we've got those Christians who are political Zionists, and you have some of the rabbis joining them so that they could be on the other side, because this is the Hegelian dialectic in force once again. And the leaders of the Islamic world. The war must be conducted in such a way that Islam, the Muslim Arabic world, and political Zionism, the state of Israel, must mutually destroy each other. Now, the funny thing about that is, I don't believe that the state of Israel is going to be destroyed in the process. They are already destroyed. Yahweh will not let them have that land over there. However, political Zionism means the Christians, so to speak, okay? Against this war is the Christians against the Muslims, the two main enemies of the Jews. The Muslims have always hated the Jews, and now they wanted to make the Muslims our enemies. We didn't have any Muslim enemies, except Jews who blew up buildings and did all the terrorism. So what they did was they put our Shabbos Goy military over there under false pretenses, which is everything they do anyway, and they had us destroy their lives, destroy their homes, destroy their lands, destroy their trees, their gardens, their lives. Until the point where now the Muslim world became the enemy of the white world. But this didn't work either for a time. And the Jew had to figure out, well, we brought the war to them and they haven't. It really hasn't caused anything because Whitey's just too strong war-wise. So what we need to do is we need to use the laws of a country and bring immigration. And what we'll do is we'll bomb these people again until we pretend that they become immigrants or... You know what I'm saying. So they're going to come into your land because they need help. Of course, the people that are coming into the lands are all soldier type people, not women and families. So they brought the war to us is what they did, because it wasn't going to work any other way. There's no way that if Whitey was going to fight the Muslim world, all that was going to happen was the Muslim world would be destroyed. We could just kill them all. See, the Jew wants to make sure Whitey gets killed. He's been working on that for centuries, for thousands of years. So he wants to make sure. So he's bringing these people into all of our lands through immigration. He's bringing the war to you, dear listener. And what he's doing is bringing arms in with them, and he's writing laws to take arms from you so that you will be stripped and they will have all the arms and have the advantage. Because he does hate Whitey more than he hates the Muslim, but he knows Whitey's smart enough, and Whitey will find a way of killing these Muslims too. So it goes on here. That, I'm going to read this sentence again. The war must be conducted in such a way that Islam, the Muslim Arabic world, and political Zionism, the state of Israel, mutually destroy each other. Meanwhile, the other nations, now listen, once more divided on this issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economical exhaustion. We shall unleash the nihilists, look those words up, and the atheists, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery, and of the most bloody turmoil. Then everywhere, the citizens, obliged to defend themselves. Are you hearing this? Then everywhere, the citizens, obliged to defend themselves against the world of minority of revolutionaries, will exterminate those destroyers of civilization. And the multitude disillusioned with Christianity, pay attention now, and the multitude disillusioned with Christianity. And what that means to me, ladies and gentlemen, is not CI, not real Christianity, but the Jewish form of Christianity with the Jewish Jesus hippie that loves everybody. And he also loves the sinner, but not the sin. You know, that false Jesus. So, They will exterminate those destroyers of civilization, and the multitude disillusioned with, let me add this word, Judeo-Christianity, whose deistic spirits will be from that moment without compass. In other words, they'll have no direction. Oh, it says compass or direction. Anxious for an ideal, but without knowing where to render its adoration. Now listen very carefully. Will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer. I want to read this again because it's very important, okay? Then everywhere the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries will exterminate those destroyers of civilization. And the multitude disillusioned with Christianity, he said they were going to need it, Judeo-Christianity, they were going to need to use Christianity one more time. And here it is. Whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction, anxious for an ideal. Remember I talked about ideals? They don't translate to reality. but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer, brought finally out in the public view. This manifestation will result from the general reactionary movement which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. You're hearing right from the children of the flame. I hope you do realize that. Now, if you can say to me that's a hoax, and this has been around before all this, before 2001, of course, people were talking about these quotes way before 2001, when we all of a sudden had Muslim enemies. It's not a hoax. As a matter of fact, it's disappeared from the English library or museum. Okay? Let's continue with the children of the flame. I've got some very interesting things that Yahweh has told me about this. I don't mean he spoke to me. These ideas just floated right through my spirit. Now listen to this. This is a quote from the children of the flame. They say, and they claim, we came from the flame, we return to the flame. Now pay attention to what I'm going to tell you right now. Now, number one, the pyramid means amidst the flame. It is the, you notice that the it's the upward, it's the lingam, it's the male. The pyramid means amidst the flame. So it's like when you're looking at a pyramid, you're looking at the top of the candle where it's lit. So they came from the flame and they will return to the flame. And yes, they certainly will, ladies and gentlemen. They certainly will. I want you to think about baptism. This blew my mind. I've never heard anyone say anything like it. And many things that Yahweh gives me, I've never heard anybody. I don't even credit me with the thinking this up. I believe he gave it to me. Now, when you're baptized, the flesh, when you go into the water, you come up a new man in Yeshua. It's like being born again of the water, because we are children of the water. You do realize that Yahweh talks about that with Nicodemus when he said, what must I do? Go back into my mother's womb and be born again? Because Yeshua told him that you must be born of water and spirit. He told Nicodemus, who was a Jew, that he was born from below. In other words, he was a child of the flame. And when he would die, he would return to the flame. So, here's what I propose to you about baptism. Because the flesh has taken on many things from the world, what we're actually doing when we get baptized is we're going into the water and putting out the flame. Think on it. We're dipping into the water and we're extinguishing the flame. That anything we've learned from the children of the flame will now be the past, and we will be totally the children of the water. I bet you've never thought of baptism in that form. You've only thought of it as you go in the water, and when you come out, you're a new man, a new creature in Christ. Well, you are. But what has happened is you've extinguished the flame. Now, That is amazing. Now, you'll notice that the Pharisees wanted to be baptized by John. What you'll notice about that is that even though the Pharisees went through the outward ritual of extinguishing the flame, they came out of the water and they still were the children of the flame. The water did not extinguish it because it's a spiritual thing as much as it is a physical thing. And yes, they went through the physical thing, but the spiritual didn't work for them as it never will. Now, I want to put a thought into your brain, something that will blow you away, I would think. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they went into the furnace, there were four people in there. They were all children of the water. And it's the opposite of the Pharisee. You see, because they were water, water is more powerful than the flame. So, their faith, it was a spiritual thing as well, just like baptism was. This is baptism in fire. Only the Pharisees, when I just told you the Pharisees were baptized, they went into the water and came out of the water, but they were not new men when they came out of the water spiritually. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, instead of being put into the water, into the water to extinguish the flame, they were put into the flame, but the flame is not as strong as the water. And the flame could not extinguish the children of the water because Yahweh was with them. Yeshua was with them. Think on it. Think about that. Now, speaking of children of the flame, you'll notice that the sun worshippers worship the sun, which is a ball of flame. How are the gears in your mind working right now? Are you connecting the dots as I connected the dots when I first started to begin to think about this? Witches were burnt at the stake. Now, I realize that some of them probably weren't real witches, but they are children of the flame, and they returned to the flame. Jacques de Molay, are you familiar with the name? He was burnt at the stake in, I believe it was, 1313. I believe it was Friday the 13th. He was a child of the flame, and he returned to the flame. Now, Bill Clinton, who is the, excuse the word, bastard, but that is a biblical word, a bastard offspring of Rogenfelder, a Jew who pretends he's not a Jew, but everything his life has ever been speaks Jew. Bill Clinton, when he was young, was a member of the De Molays, a youth group from Freemasonry. He is also a child of the flame and has shown, as is his wife, Billary, who is a Jewess, who grew up in the home speaking Yiddish with her grandmother. No, she's not white. And when she says all these things that she's saying about, she is so desperate right now, she is kissing up to the blacks because without the blacks' votes, she is cooked. She is a Jewess. And she wants to start this race war, and she wants to put Whitey in real hard situations. But when she talks about putting Whitey in hard situations, she's not included because she's not white. Remember that she's a female pig with the three parentheses. That's one of the things I was saying last week is I was saying quotations. I meant three parentheses. When you see three parentheses around a name or a term, you'll know that that means Jew. When I wrote my article, Pigs or Pigs on the Wing, I used that terminology, and you'll understand what I'm talking about when you read it. Hopefully Dogs, which is the second article in the series, shall be out later today. It will use the same terminology. Now, another child of the flame that we could talk about is Jack Parsons. Are you familiar with the name? He was working on an experiment. He was a great rocket scientist. You see, the devil wants to get off this planet, and that's the purpose of NASA. The devil wants a way off the planet because Yahweh has kept him on the planet, and he will not be able to escape. So through people like Jack Parsons, who was a very filthy, evil Satanist, he was also a brilliant rocket scientist, and he was working on the golem, which the Jews are very interested in, bringing demons into our realm. Thanks be to Yahweh, this child of the flame also returned to the flame. His lab blew up and he was killed. Praise be to Yahweh, the Most High. He relieved the world and gave the world more time from scum like Jack Parsons. Now, these people are heroes. Jack DeMolay, Jack Parsons. These are heroes to the world, to the children of the flame. But to the children of the water and their father, these people are abominations. Now, let's go to the Wizard of Oz. Wait till you hear this one. What happens when the water is thrown on the witch? Hello, hello, hello. The dots are connecting. Yes, they are. I told you the water is stronger than the flame. She began to melt. Correct? She is a child of the flame, is she not? Did she not try to start the scarecrow on fire? Yes, she was a female pig. And when the water was thrown on her, she began to cry and scream and melt. The children of the water have power over the children of the flame, whether they know it or not. Let's continue. I hope that you're enjoying this, because to me, this blew me away. You'll also notice another way that Yeshua tells us that we are the children of the water is because when he wanted to get that donkey and ride through Jerusalem in his victorious ride, he told the disciples that went there that they'd know the man because he would be pouring a pitcher of water. Correct? Which is the sign of Aquarius, is it not? Even though I don't really participate in that stuff. Now, I told you about the devil in the garden and his promise to these men, these Shabbos Goy race traders, these pigs and dogs, these Freemasonic followers of the Jews. They were promised the fire, the fire, the fire of intellect in the garden. That was the promise that Eve was seduced with. You will be as gods. They already were gods. We are the image of God. We didn't need to become the image of God. The Adamic race, Adam and Eve, already were the children of God, already had eternal life, already had Shekinah glory. And I'm not talking about the Jews' perversion of that term. So the fire of intellect, which is a pseudo-wisdom. You see, wisdom is superior to knowledge, just knowledge. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. Notice how when the people didn't have the teaching that they have in the schools that we have, these indoctrinational schools, that they were more willing to believe in Yahweh, more willing to believe the truth. Whereas the fire of intellect has caused them to doubt, has caused them to think more like a scientist would think. What a scientist is a Pharisee. Why do I say that? Because as I had read to you in one of my previous shows called Fear Versus Faith, you will have noticed that the Israelites believed when Yeshua told them things, but that was one of my best messages, Fear Versus Faith. Or should I say that was one of Yahweh's best messages, really? Every time we saw the children of the devil, the Pharisaic Jews, the Sadduceic Jews, they were sad, you see? Yes, they were. Well, they had the fire of intellect. You know, the secret knowledge. You see? And this made them want to see proof of everything that Yeshua said. They said, show us a sign, Master, show us a sign. We don't want to just believe. Faith is believing. We don't have faith. We want proof that what you're saying is true. Show us a sign. And of course, he would not show them a sign because he didn't really even want to prove it to them in the first place. He knew what they were. He knew who they were. And he knew that they were the children of the flame. Now, had you or had you not noticed that when the children of the flame say, we came from the flame and we shall return to the flame, had you not noticed that death and hell will be thrown into the lake of fire, which is a flame? This they shall return to the flame. Did you know that Esau, Edom, shall be bundled up, of course, with the goats that have been, the goats being the dogs, pigs, and sheep that they have seduced into being race traders and to follow them, to follow the Jews, rather than to follow Yahweh. Those are the goats that have been grafted in the same way as the Apostle Paul talks about our kinsmen who weren't Israelites, were grafted in. No, that wasn't Jews. No. Those were Adamic people. But on the other side of the track, as I've told you before, there are many goats that are grafted in to the goats, to the children of the flame. And they all shall be bundled up. You see, at first they'll be separated. You'll have the children of the water on the right of Yeshua, and you'll have the children of the flame on the left side. The left side. The left side. The left side. And they shall be bundled up and burned. It's that simple. And then when the judgment is over, that all shall be thrown into the lake of fire. So the children of the flame are not lying to you in this one instance when they tell you that we came from the flame and we shall return to the flame. Have you noticed that Satanists and witches and children of the flame, the wicked, they love darkness, do they not? Did you notice how the hook-nosed Jewish vampire doesn't like the light, but doesn't mind candlelight? Because candlelight usually is much of a lower frequency than the light of the sun or the light of Yahweh. I've had many people attack me without even doing anything to them because it was a spiritual attack, because they saw who was in me and whoever is in them didn't like who was in me. The children of the flame can recognize the children of the water. You don't have to say anything. Now, you'll notice that these Satanists and these witches, and you remember the Dark Ages when we didn't have electricity? Did you notice that they were called the Dark Ages for more than one reason? What weren't they called Dark Ages for a reason? Not only was it dark spiritually in a lot of ways, and there was a lot of dark things happening then, but there was the light of day, but when the light of day went away, even though you were with candles and so on and so forth, it was a dark light. The wicked love darkness. The wicked love the dark light. They can't stand being in the bright light. They're afraid of the bright light. It bothers them. They're the children of the night. Many of them don't go out in daytime because they can't stand the bright light. Oh, these aren't just in movies, my dear people. This is reality. There are people that live on the other side of the clock than you do. They sleep in the day and they live in the night. Did you notice, as children of the water, that when we go into the kingdom, we shall be given the water of the tree of life. The water of the tree of life. You see? Whereas the tree of good and evil, they received the fire of intellect. Do you see? This blew me away. When Yahweh, as a matter of fact, I didn't have that exact thing right there, but there it is for you. I knew he'd reveal some things, you know, during the show too. But think about what I just told you. Remember that the water of the tree of life was in the garden with Adam and Eve. Also, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was in the garden. Once they were kicked out of the garden, they could have no more of the water of the tree of life. You know that, right? I read that to you in the book of Adam and Eve. When Adam was having pains and he was dying, Seth, went with Eve to try to ask the angels to give them some ointment from the tree of life, which he would not do. You should really go back and listen to my shows from the beginning. If you're not aware, it's been going on for over a year now. And if you're a new listener, I suggest that you go back and listen to all my shows several times. Why? Because I'm a genius. No, that's not why. Why? Because Yahweh gave these messages to me specially for you. They're in a sequence that he, I believe, ordained. A sequence that he orchestrated. And it's up to you to go back and go through them. And I think you'll learn many, many, many things that he wants us to know and understand. Because we are perishing for the lack of knowledge. And certainly for the lack of wisdom. So think about it again, what I just said. The water of the tree of life is what the children of the water shall enjoy. But the fire of intellect is what was given to Adam and Eve. You see what I mean about being baptized? You see, now they had that sin nature. What that sin nature is from the children of the flame, from the fire of intellect, the knowledge of good and evil. So that when you are baptized, I'm going back to that again, you go into the water and you extinguish the flame. And when you come up, you are now just a child of the water. The old man or the flame is now extinguished. And you are now a children of the water, a child of the water, a child who will be drinking the water of the tree of life. Does that make sense to you? Is that not remarkable? Can you imagine the thoughts that were going through my head as these floated right across my brain? And as I began to say to Yahweh, "You are remarkable. You're blowing my mind." You know, sometimes I'm going through some tough things right now. And sometimes I don't really know why. And sometimes you wonder, is he going to bring me out of this? And then he gives you a message like that. And how could you doubt that he's with you? Now let me continue. Remember when the disciples, when Yeshua showed his humility as a high priest, he was showing that he was a servant to the sheep, a servant, even though he was a king. He showed that he who humbles himself shall be exalted, which I read you from the Proverbs. He who exalts himself shall be humbled. But he who humbles himself shall be exalted. What did he do to humble himself? He washed the disciples' feet. And what did he wash them with? Water. You know, now that I think of it, that has even more meaning. Listen to why. He cleaned their feet, which helped them to walk in righteous paths. You understand what I'm saying? He cleaned their feet so that they would walk uprightly, so that they would walk in a righteous path. He is our righteousness. You understand that? I mean, this is blowing me away. I'm telling you. Now, Did you realize, of course you did, that he walked on water? Because he is water. Because our bodies are made of, I don't know, 96, 98% water. He walked on water because he has the power over the water. He showed who he was. And Peter, who was a child of the water, was allowed to walk on the water for a short span until the flame, the ideas of the flame and fear got into his head. Then he lost his power for a moment and fell in the water. Now, think on that for a while. Yeshua has power over the storms, power over the water. He even has power over the flame and the children of the flame, because the water is stronger than the flame. You do realize that firemen put out the flame with water, don't you? How else can we extinguish the flame but with water? Well, some say, well, I know they use chemicals for electric. Well, come on, all right? Let's, generally speaking, water has always been used to put out fires. I understand you can't put out a chemical fire with water. I understand that. I mean, an electrical fire. Neither here nor there. That's what firemen do. Now, when he was on the cross, they gave him the opposite of water to drink. Because he was a child of water, he wanted some water to refresh his soul for a short period of time. But the children of the flame, they gave him vinegar to drink, which kills plants, by the way. Let me tell you a little something in case you don't know this. Instead of using that plant killer that you have, you know, the stuff that kills the cells in your body. I forget the name of it. It's by the Jewish company there, that Monsanto, you know, I forget what it's called. It kills weeds. It kills plants. It kills everything. If you get it on your skin, it'll kill you. It'll kill the cells in your body. Well, in case you don't know this, if you were to pour vinegar on those same plants instead of that stuff, not only would you be safe, but those plants would be killed. Because vinegar is almost like the opposite of water. It's acidic. It kills. That's why they gave him vinegar to drink, or it's called gall. Because it was like putting one more nail in his coffin, so to speak. They didn't want to give him water and refresh him while I was up there. And that could be a merciful thing too, though. But neither there, nor here nor there. Think on that. So, we were born of water and spirit, as I said. Of water and of spirit. And we return to be able to take freely the water of life. And when Yahweh created the world, it began with the waters, did it not? Water is the key to everything in this world, in a sense. Oh, yes, a plant, it does need some light to grow. But it does most of its growing during the night. And if a plant is left without water and has only light, it will be fried, it will be killed. Water is the key to life. We are born from the water of our mother's womb. When the water breaks, we come out. Now, life is destroyed by fire and cancer. Let me tell you a little bit about fire and cancer. Now, firemen have a 68% chance of getting cancer just by being exposed to the fire, and it also has something to do with the fire-retarding materials that they're wearing. However, because they're exposed to the smoke and the fire, they have a 68% chance of getting cancer. That was in the Boston Globe. Now, there are many of these children of the flame that love death. I've seen people that everything of their surrounding has to do with death. I met a man who smokes like a smokestack, so he puts plenty of the poison into him. He's smoking with fire. And he said to me, "I never drink water." What did I just tell you about water? Water is life. Water heals. Now, cancer in the body looks like being burnt by fire. Cancer is killed in the body by oxygen. Cancer is caused in the body by an acidic environment like vinegar. You understand? If there is no oxygen getting into the body because you're smoking cigarettes and you're basically just getting cigarettes put into your body most of the time and no oxygen, no wonder you begin to get cancer. If you never drink water, isn't water two parts oxygen? Am I right about that? So if you drink plenty of water, you're getting oxygen into your body and your bloodstream, correct? So if you never drink water and you're only smoking the flame, what do you think your outcome might be? But in fact, the same time, this man loves death. Everything in his life, and he's a nice fella too, it has nothing to do with that, or appears to be a nice fella, but everything in his life has to do with death. Have you ever heard of somebody who said they never drink water? Now, you talk about dying for the lack of knowledge. If you knew your body was 98% water or whatever it is, 96% water, and you didn't drink any water, how much brains do you think you might have? I'll give you another example. Frank Zappa, you may or may not know the name. He died of colon cancer when he was 53 years old. He was a very thin man, tall and thin, and he's a musician. And all he did was drink black coffee and smoke, and he really didn't eat a lot. So he's putting... Of course, he's a child of the flame in the first place, so he was never a child of the water anyway. But this is my point about the whole thing. He's drinking black coffee, which is acidic. No, I didn't say Hasidic. It's acidic. Okay? On top of that, which means it's a diuretic, and he's depleting his system of water, which has oxygen in it. And at the same time, while he's doing that, he's not getting oxygen in another way. He's smoking cigarettes from the flame. The outcome is death. Do you see what I'm telling you? This is how it works for the children of death. This is how it works for the children of the flame. You don't drink water? Hello? Now, the sun, which is flame, can cause skin cancer, can it not? If you're not properly hydrated, or if you're using some of these, in case you don't know this, a lot of these suntan lotions promote cancer and they cause cancer. Because you see, as like the drug industry and the food industry and your local water, see, they want to kill you in every way they possibly can. See, they could make something that would not cause cancer, but they want it to cause cancer. So what you do is you go out into the flame and you get skin cancer if you go out there too much. If you get too much of that and not enough oxygen, not enough pH balance, so to speak, your judgment ends with fire. As in the same way as the judgment at the end of the age when Yahweh does his judgment, everything's done, it ends with hell thrown into the lake of fire. Death and fire, life and water. I am so excited about this message because it's pure common sense. I don't even know if any of you are listening. You see, as I told you, plants will die without water. But they need a little light. If they get too much light, it's the same as you. If you're out in the flame and you get too much of it, you can get skin cancer. But if you get the small amount of it, it actually gives you vitamin D and is very good for you. You just have to have it in a balanced way. So, water refreshes, heat exhausts. Did you notice that on these hot, humid days, it tires you out? It wears you out. It makes you tired, the heat. But water refreshes you. Does that make sense? Water rehydrates you. Water brings life back to you. The coolness of water. Whereas the... So that's the color blue you would think of water. Green or blue. Whereas you would think of fire as orange, yellow, and red. So heat makes you tired. Heat wears your body out. Which means it diminishes your life. So, dear listener, which would you rather be? A child of the flame who returns to the flame? Or would you rather be children of the water that will have life, that will have refreshment, that will be redeemed by Yahweh and have that immortality that we already had and have the Shekinah glory that was given to us because we are the literal offspring of Yahweh, and he has that very same Shekinah glory. Everything that's around Yahweh glows, even when it leaves his presence for a time. As I would mention to you, I believe it was Noah, that when he was in his crib, his eyes glowed and he lit up the room and his parents were afraid. That was in the book of Enoch. When Moses came down from the mountain, he had to cover himself up because of the Shekinah glory. He was glowing after seeing Yahweh, even though it was the fire in the bush. I believe the fire in the bush was to keep him back because he could not actually look on Yahweh. That's neither here nor there. That doesn't mean Yahweh is a god of the flame. It just means that's the way that is in that particular situation. So, to sum it up for you, the children of the water will defeat the children of the flame. It is written, it shall be that way. Because we don't need Yahweh to show us a sign. We can see already the signs that are going on. We don't need to ask for a sign. I don't need to ask Yahweh, show me a sign that you're there. I already know he's there. You'd have to be an idiot not to know he's there. What you always have to remember is like I wrote in my article about the pigs, the Jews. What you people have to realize is they already know that they're doomed. They already know the outcome of where they're going to be going. That's why they live for today and they don't look forward to tomorrow. That's why they're able to do all the evil that they do, is because they know it doesn't matter how much evil they do, the outcome will be the same. What a conundrum that puts the children of the water in, though. You know what I mean? It's a conundrum. It's something that we're living through that is very difficult to live through. It's hard to live with evil people that know that no matter how much evil they do, the outcome's still the same, so they might as well just do as much as possible. As much as they can. Because they know the outcome is the same. The problem with the children of the water, the sheep and the dogs and the regular pigs, is the fact that they don't understand that very fact, that the children of the flame are doomed. So what the children of the flame do is they get the children of the water to eat pig, to engage in homosexuality, to help pass laws against their own race, to take jobs over men so you can demean them as a woman. And so many more things. In other words, the children of the water, or the sheep and the dogs and the regular pigs, they fear the Jew and obey the Jew and obey anything the Jew tells them to do, whether it's against Yahweh or not, thus condemning themselves, thus grafting themselves into the fold of the goats. They become grafted in, the children of the water. Allow the flame to overtake them. And they become grafted in to the goats. Now, this is done through temptation. It's done through blackmail. It's done through lust. It's done through some ignorance. It's done through following the Jew and living for today without realizing what the consequences of tomorrow will be. And it's because the fire of intellect, the wanting to be a god. You see, what's interesting about it is, didn't Yeshua say to us, "Know ye not that ye are gods?" And what he meant by that was, we are the offspring of Yahweh. In other words, a god gives birth to a god. His children are gods. Because they had eternal life. Because they had the same Shekinah glory. But once they were seduced by the fire of intellect from the children or the father of the children of the flame, it sort of destroyed a good portion of the water. This is why when we're redeemed, we'll get our eternal life back, and will drink freely from the water of life, so that the flame will never douse us out again. Yahweh himself will be the light. There will be no flame of the sun. There will be the light of Yahweh, which is sufficient to light the kingdom. There will be no need of the flame of the sun, as far as I can understand, because it does say that he will be the light of the kingdom. And I hope, dear listener, that this makes pure sense to you. If you think that you're living this life and that there is going to be no consequence for the evil that you do, and that you're just going to claim ignorance, you're in for some serious, serious defeat. You're going to be destroyed. One of the biggest fears I have is not the Jews. One of the biggest fears I've always had ever since I heard it is that he would say to me, "Depart from me. I never knew you." And that sort of brings tears to my eyes, because if I ever heard those words, those are the words you never want to hear. Stop fearing the Jews. Stop playing the games that they wish you to play. Stop walking down well-trodden corridors that they have designed you to walk down. Stop being afraid of being called names. You better fear Yahweh before you fear being called a name. You better fear Yahweh and decide that you want to obey him before you obey the children of the devil. If you doubt that they're the children of the devil, I've proven it to you in practically every show, if not every show I've put out. And that includes my news program as well. Another week of the news, another week of the Jews. When I tell you something, I prove it to you. When I tell you they run the porn industry, I prove it to you with my news program. When I tell you they're hypocrites, I show that to you. When I tell you they're lying about things, I prove that in my news show. Are you listening? But more important, are you going to listen and obey Yahweh? Don't follow me. Follow Yahweh. He put me and called me to do these shows that I do. Not sure how they all happen, they just do. And I consider it a great privilege and have told Yahweh that many times, that I thank him that I have the privilege of speaking to the flock. It is not to be taken lightly. It is a great responsibility, and my judgment shall be twice or 1,000 times what yours will be. Therefore, I don't take this lightly at all. Do you understand? I don't just tell you things because I need to show you how much I know or whatever it might be. I'm telling you things that he wants you to know. Either you begin, now I just said this, the last message. Either you begin to listen to the shepherds of the flocks and you heed the warnings of the shepherds and you heed the warnings of the ultimate shepherd, Yeshua, Yahweh himself, either you do that or you're done with. There is no Jewish Jesus. There is no Jewish Christianity. That's not real. That's not the real Christianity. Either you start heeding the warnings of the shepherds, or you are grafted in with the goats. And time is shortening and shortening and shortening. I know people have told you that before. We're running out of time. And we are. Wake up, smarten up, and ask Yahweh for wisdom and forgiveness. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James. Until next time, study to show thyself approved.